Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have a special guest. I know I say that, but she is a very special guest. Diane Matuszek has joined us again to talk about the upcoming election. She is running for re-election of Clerk of Court. Her website is dianematuszek.com. And Diane, welcome back.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm glad you're here. We have, of course, as our listeners know, we have extended invitations to everybody who's involved in each of the races where we've had a guest. So we've extended your opponent to come on as well. But this is a, let me say this, how does this sound? This is a lively contest.
Yes, it is.
Because, of course, you had the first contest was with your opponent in the, was it the primary? Mm-hmm. And now this is the finale.
Yeah.
This is the sprint to the finish.
This is it.
Are your legs getting tired?
Oh, boy. My feet hurt.
Your feet hurt?
A lot. Yes.
Well, all right. So folks that are out there, of course, they see all the stuff that may be in either the newspaper or that's, you know, wherever. I thought it would be helpful if we could ask some good questions here and talk through some of the things that are important for you to communicate to the voters so that they know what they are, you know, so they have the facts. Mm-hmm. I think that's really what the key is. And that was part of why I wanted you to get back on here, because I've just seen this flurry of all kinds of information out there, and some of it's not correct. I've done some homework and done some research, and some of it's just simply not factually correct. So let's talk a little bit about that. And of course, I want to make it a positive message, but there are certain things that you do need to address.
Yes, I do. Probably the biggest issue is the fact that there's an ad now that says I'm getting a golden parachute and that I have to retire February of 2014, which is totally incorrect. What it is I entered drop after I was reelected. In fact, I even waited until after the first of the year when I could have actually entered drop sooner. The FRS, the Florida Retirement System, requires that you provide them with a date, but that date, in essence, is just the end of the 5 year for the drop program. The other thing is that I can continue to work. My office will not put any more money, will not contribute any more money into the FRS or the drop, and the drop sits out there. My pension's already been determined, and that's what I will have when I retire. So in 4 years, when I'm reelected, in 4 years, if I decide to retire, I will have a nice pension. Pensions are earned, and I've been in the clerk's office 40 years, and I do believe
that is a long time.
That's a long time, and I know of people who have been in the clerk's office the same amount of time, and while they may not be getting the same percentage because I've been elected official for 19 years, they get great drop money. It's a good program.
I think for a lot of people, the whole thing about retirement, of course, you know, we all know it's a hot button issue, and it's been made one by some politicians that, you know, that government employees aren't entitled to this or that because maybe some of those same things are not available in the private sector. And I think that that's true, that certain benefits, obviously, you know, the Florida retirement system is a system that is designed to provide a pension. That's what it's designed to do. Mm-hmm. And there's changes that have started being made to that, like with the 3% contribution requirement.
Absolutely.
Things like that. But people are entitled to the benefit of their bargain. And so, you know, if you're listening and you're saying, well, you know, but those pensions are too big. Well, look, my family are all participate. My grandmother was in, she taught every kid up in Flagler County for like 37 years. And she was a long time pension recipient. And thank God, but she earned that. And so I think that if somebody earns something, they should get it. And we can't simply just say, well, let's wipe that away. Now, if they want to change it for people going forward, or if they want to say, okay, that's it, you can't, after so many years, we're going to change it. But if you've already earned it, you can't take it away.
That's correct. And the other thing, they have changed the law considerably. They recognize the fact that there were double dippers, and I'm not one of those double dippers. I can't be. They've written the law as such that there's no way I can get to my pension or the drop money until I literally walk out of that office retired.
That's pretty clear. I think part of the problem here, Diane, and for our listeners, is that there's misunderstanding, there's confusion, there's old law that people sometimes still think about. You know, I've had people ask me questions about tax law that's 20 years old, and they still think it's something that applies. So I like to give people the benefit of the doubt that there's just simply misunderstanding or ignorance about how some of this stuff works. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue talking with Diane Matuszek about some of these issues because we have to clear up some of this and talk a little bit more about how this works. So stay right there. If you're interested, this will be helpful.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
We're back. This is David Holland, and I'm joined by Diane Matuszek. She is running for re-election. Been doing it for how long now, Diane?
Well, I've been the elected clerk for 19 years and 8 months.
Wow, that's
but
a long time.
Prior to that, I worked in the office nearly 20 years.
That's impressive. DianeMatuszek.com is the campaign website. You know, I think that, again, I know that you, as you're listening to this program today, ladies and gentlemen, you're like, okay, I don't really want to know the inner workings of Drop, do I? Well, let me just give it to you very quickly, and we'll move on to some other subjects I know Diane wants to talk about. But, you know, when this came up as a question mark, I saw, of course, things out, and your race is not the only one where this is an issue. It seems to be the soup du jour of how you try to maybe position somebody to be getting something that makes people not like it, because people... A lot of people are envious when they see somebody else getting something. You know, my kids can tell you how that works. You know, they sit down and you give one of them three scoops of ice cream and you give one of them one, the one that gets one is not happy.
Right.
Okay. So the way this drop thing works, you know, technically, it is the Deferred Retirement Option Program. It's optional. It's not required. But in order to participate, you have to be a state employee. You have to qualify, but there's certain rules. What happens is if you elect drop, that means you are effectively retiring or ceasing your participation in the Florida retirement system. That means that you've selected to take a pension and you're going to get either a lifetime income pension or you're going to get a joint life if you're married and you want to do that, or there are different options, but you elect. So let's just say somebody elects and they're going to retire after so many years and they're going to get $2,500 a month pension. Well, they can take the drop option, have that $2,500 that they would get from their pension, go into this drop account, and then they could keep working for up to 5 years.
Right.
And it's a pretty nice thing. But the reason this was created, based on what I remember when this was done and looking at the research, is this actually is a way for the state and the participating employers to actually save money. Because what happens is it encourages longer-term employees to retire at the end of the five-year period. And it used to actually be 8 and they made it 5. And it also causes there's no longer any credit for the employee for continuing to work.
Right.
So you don't earn any more time. So if it's $2,500, as an example, that's going into this drop account, you still get paid to work. And then at the end of the 5 year period, you then start getting that $2,500 that's your pension. You get to walk away with that account that has built up some value.
That pension is only if I retire.
Well, exactly. You don't get it until you retire fully.
Exactly.
But so you're not getting both.
No.
You're not getting a paycheck.
I will never get both.
You don't get a paycheck and get the pension.
Right.
It goes into this account. But that's your money, though. You've earned it.
And I contributed a lot of that money myself.
But even if you didn't, you've earned it by virtue of your participation in the retirement system. Every state employee has this option. So the key thing I think people don't realize is that you're just getting your money going into a special account. And the reason this was also created was to create more flexibility for employees when they retire so that, yes, they're going to get the pension, but a lot of employees would retire from their government or state or their teaching job. My parents did this. They retire and they don't have the liquid cash. They've got the pension, but not a lot of cash. So this was a way to also create a lump sum for them. But that's how it works. And there is a special rule. In fact, I did a little bit of homework on this. It's state statute, if anybody really cares. It's statute 121 point blah, 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 blah. But basically it says that if you're an elected official, you can continue to defer past the five-year period. You have to give them the date, but then if you're reelected, you can go the whole four-year term.
And I know several clerks around the state
who have done that.
That have done that, yes.
So you're not required in the middle of your term to say, oops, I'm drop, I got to stop.
No, not at all.
So I think that's something that people misunderstand. There is no special election required or anything like that. In fact, if you want to continue after that, you can go another 4 years if you want.
I can go as many terms as I want.
Okay.
And I would never, ever retire and require a special election. Imagine how expensive that would be on the taxpayers. I'm just not the type. I give money back
to the state. So you're making a four-year commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I give money back every year to the state and the county. I'm very, very fiscally.
You're talking about now, not your retirement.
Not
money,
my
but
retirement.
You're talking about your work as the clerk.
We're very conservative, and we give back a lot of money to the state and to the county every year.
Okay, well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. I think we have dropped the drop to rest.
Right. I hope so.
I hope so. And if people have questions, they can certainly email me at info@davidholland.com, and I'll be happy to give them the statutes and whatnot, but it's all right there, black and white. You go to the Florida Retirement System, and there's all kinds of information, but it's all just like we described. Let's take the quick break, come back, and let's talk about what you're doing in terms of your elected position. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
We're back with Diane Matuzik, and the website is dianematuzik.com. And we're going to talk now. We've got the drop thing out of the way. I hope we've clarified that. And we're going to talk about some of your accomplishments. And the reason, folks, you know, we talked before the program, say, okay, I asked Diane to come back on, address the drop, but also, and we've extended the same invitation to your opponent, why people should support your reelection, because you have had a good chunk of time, almost 20 years, to be the clerk. You're in charge. Why 4 more years?
Why 4 more years? Because we have, first of all, when I took office, I embraced technology. I brought the office into the 21st century. Believe me, we were doing a lot of manual tasks that did not need to be done manually. So I embraced technology. Since I've been in office, there have been a lot of projects that have been planned for. One is e-filing, electronically filing cases. And we've been e-filing since July 1st. The other is e-recording. While it's not mandated, we have the ability for people to e-record. We also are working on a new system. It's for criminal cases. It's called the CCMS, Criminal Case Management System. And it was to be launched earlier in the year. And I didn't feel that it was ready. I'm not going to launch
something.
So
that's your call?
That's my call. It was actually a call from several of the people that are involved in the project.
Okay, but these are the folks that work for you, and they gave you, or
no,
other folks?
Other agencies.
Okay.
Other agencies are involved in this entire project.
This is something you get as a group, your collaboration on this. Okay.
Yes. And we decided that there was so much data from 1982. That CJIS system was antiquated like crazy. And there was a lot of data that needed to be converted. So we have pretty much the conversion down, but there's still issues. But there's also issues with the way that information is going to be disseminated. So instead of launching it and failing, we decided to wait, get everything right,
okay,
and then launch it. Now, it wouldn't have completely, you know, blown up. There would have been certain aspects of it that would have been workable. But I said, no, not until it's all finished.
That seems reasonable. So next 4 years, continue on automation, continue on bringing these things into place. Of course, you mentioned before we took the break that part of what you've been able to do is to not spend all the money that you're in your budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you expect that type of ongoing progress?
Absolutely.
Of remaining efficient?
I have a very good track record on that. I can tell you for a fact that last year we gave back over $1 million to the state, and we
you need to send that over to the public school system, who's they're having problems with their class ratios.
What the state does with it, I don't know.
I know.
I wish they wouldn't sod garbage dumps, but anyway. And we also gave back over $700,000 to the county.
Wow.
So we've had that track record for a long time. In fact, in 2008 and 2009, we gave over $1 million back to the county.
Very good.
They like us over there.
Well, you know, I know that the current theme, which is across the board with government, is that, you know, taxpayers, consumers, citizens, we all want more efficiency from government because we perceive in certain areas, especially with the federal government, of course, being the target with an election coming up here where we elect a new president or reelect the one we have, that people are very focused on government spending. So is that something that warrants critique, or are there, I guess the key thing is it's working? You expect to be able to continue on the path you're on?
Absolutely. Yes. Okay.
I mean, it's not something, you know, there's an old saying, if it's not broken, don't try to fix it.
That's correct.
Okay.
The other thing I'd like to clarify is apparently there is some misconception about the amount of employees being supervised by one supervisor, and it's been said out there publicly that there's one supervisor to every five people. That is completely incorrect.
Well, let's start with this. How many total employees do you have?
About 280.
Okay, 280 people. All right, and then depending on the department, how many departments? Off the top of your head, golly, you got a bunch.
A bunch is right.
Different locations.
We have five different locations.
Okay.
Yeah.
But each, you know, within each department or location, you have supervisors.
Yes.
Okay.
And I can tell you there are some departments that have one supervisor per 25 individuals, and then we have one supervisor per 11 individuals.
Well, do you have any type of average or anything?
We did an average, and the ratio came out to be one supervisor per 14 people.
Well, I can tell you that having 14 people here, one supervisor is, I don't know if I want to handle that many more, but we have a whole team. Okay. Well, but that's your call, right? On how you structure supervisors to staff ratio?
Absolutely. Okay. It's my call. And the
is it working?
It's working because we have actually combined departments, and that was the purpose of it. We had a budget cut. We decided to combine departments and make one supervisor. And through attrition and all that, when somebody left, we did not fill the position.
Okay.
So we have 43 unfilled positions.
Wow.
That someday maybe we'll need them, but I'm hoping with the technology that we've embraced and continue to work with, will help do the job. It will give our employees the opportunity to do more with less.
Very good. Diane Matuszek's here in the studio with us, dianematuszek.com. One more quick break and we'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
And we're back. Diane Matuszek is with us in the studio, and the website is dianematuszek.com. That is for her campaign. That's not for the clerk of court.
Right, and I would like to have the clerk of court. It's very simple.
Go ahead.
www.clerk.org, and a lot of people say, wow, how did you get that?
That's
pretty
cool.
We were on the internet, one of the first clerk's office on the internet.
Did you have to take that thing on the front of the internet and turn it to get it to start back then?
Almost.
Okay.
It was after Al Gore invented the internet.
Okay, all right. I lose track. I mean, so many people have invented it and taken credit for it. Well, technology is here to stay. In fact, technology is amazing. I had somebody the other day that was trying to reach me, and I got a message from them, and I actually found them on LinkedIn before I even called them back. I mean, just like that. Okay, so we've got a couple of minutes, Diane. Anything else that you want to share with the listeners about what you want to accomplish during the next 4 years?
I want to accomplish embracing more technology, as I said before. That has clearly made our employees an easier way of doing business. We have a lot of statistics and we have a lot of money. We take in $120 million a year. That's how much we collect. And we turn around and distribute that among, I can't even begin to tell you how many agencies, as well as the state. So I want to continue being fiscally responsible. I want to continue embracing technology. And I have the integrity to handle that kind of money. And I have the experience and the knowledge and the leadership skills that I should be clerk for the next 4 years.
Well, that seems pretty straightforward to me. You know, as you were talking, I'm looking down at my paper with the, you said 43 unfilled positions and 280 right now. So again, being a CPA, I can't help but do the math. And that's 12% reduction in your total staffing, roughly. Mm-hmm. And boy, where would we be if we could get all of government to reduce their and unfill those positions and reduce staffing by 12%?
Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out.
Why just that? Because again, that's the current theme about Washington and all this stuff. And we've got this whole fiscal cliff we're going to go over. And people are worried about how government spends money. And I don't think many people really, truly, honestly would mind paying for government as long as government's efficient.
That's right. And we are.
Okay, Diane. Well, thank you for coming back and being on the program again. Diane Matuszak is running for re-election, and the website is dianematuszak.com. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.